Moncrief on News Talk.
Unless they are completely oblivious to the dangers, most parents are aware of the danger of giving children screen time. The question is, I suppose, how much is too much? While the likes of Bluey might be uplifting and educational, staring at four of them in a row can't be good. Simon Tierney of this parish is father to two girls aged 3 and 5, and one day he and his partner agreed to embark on an experiment. No screens, no TV for a month. That was 4 months ago and they're still doing it, something he relates in an article in today's Irish Times. Simon, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Sean.
Did something happen to you? Did you have an epiphany moment that you thought, let's try this?
Yeah, well, it's interesting you mentioned Bluey there. And by the way, I love Bluey.
Me too.
I would happily watch Bluey by myself without my kids there. It is one of the best written TV shows on television.
I'm not crying, you're crying.
It's so good. But it actually happened. My epiphany was during an episode of Bluey. My daughter, my 3-year-old daughter, was watching it. And one of the most egregious aspects of streaming culture, which we all have to deal with as parents, is the autoplay function, right? So it's not like when I was a kid, when I'd come home from school and I was watching TV and there was a kind of a inbuilt regulation in the way we consumed television, is that you would watch Sonic the Hedgehog or Home and Away or whatever it was, and every 12 or 15 minutes, there was an ad break, which was useful in the, like, we always gave out about, oh, the bloody ads. But at the same time, it gave you some respite. It gave you a breather. You took your eyes off the television, which is not what the advertisers want, of course. But it also gave you an opportunity where you might become distracted and go off and do something else entirely.
It's so interesting you say that. My 10-year-old was watching something on the RTE player and you get adverts on that.
Mm.
And she was saying, I love these adverts because there's
really?
A utter novelty to her that you would break up a program that way.
Yeah. I mean, my daughter, when the ads come on, she'll say, Dad, skip. You know, as if you can just skip through them, which of course you can't. But so my daughter was kind of going on to her 4th episode and I could see it rolling over, you know, the way it kind of gives you 10 seconds and then the autoplay kicks in with the next episode. And I was trying to get her attention for something. I was about 3 feet away from her and she was uncontactable. She had completely zoned out of the space, both physically, emotionally, mentally. She wasn't there. And it wasn't that she was particularly engaged in the television program. It was that it was having an almost nullifying, deadening effect on her. Mm. And I found that really, really scary. And it was an epiphany. It made me realize, it made me question, okay, why am I allowing this to happen? Who is responsible for it? And what are we going to do about it?
Yeah. Up to that point then, how much screen time would they have had? Would it normally have been just like watching the likes of Bluey?
Yeah, that's a good question. Hard to quantify. I mean, we were in one of those situations where I'm sure a lot of your listeners are, where if you need a bit of a breather yourself as a parent, you might stick on Disney Plus or Netflix for half an hour, supposedly half an hour, which then turns into an hour. But it was probably maybe a couple of hours a day.
Yeah.
Which I know sounds like a lot. Thinking back on it now, it's horrible to think that kids would be put in front of TV for that long.
And that would have consisted of mostly, what oldies
mostly,
would call television. Rather
mostly,
than,
mostly TV programs, whether that was on, it was mostly on streaming platforms. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So they weren't like, they didn't have Instagram accounts or anything.
No, we never really allowed that. Obviously they would, steal an iPad here or an iPhone there or whatever it was. And we try and get it off them. I mean, they are these shiny little treasures. I actually think tablets and iPhones and smartphones, I actually think they're designed for kids to use them. They are so unbelievably intuitive and the bright colours and the shininess of them. I mean, you can see how kids get hooked on them very quickly.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
So eventually after that epiphany, Sean, we decided to bring in this ban initially for a month. And I mean, I wrote that article several weeks ago. I mean, we're probably 5 months into it now and I don't think we'll be going back. But there are some important caveats.
Yeah. Okay. So did you kind of set yourselves a today's the day kind of thing, and from this point on, no more? And did you announce it to the kids, or how did you go about doing it?
That's a very good question. No, God, no, we didn't announce it. No, that's not something you announce at all. It was much more insidious than that. We expected there to be mutiny. There wasn't. I think probably because we brought it in a very soft way, kind of slowly drawing it down. But then there came a Saturday when it was my turn to take the kids on that particular morning when they woke us up at 6:30 and we went downstairs. And I was the one that, like, initially I would have got their milk or whatever, or their cereal, and I would have plonked them down in front of the TV for Saturday morning cartoons. And that would have been it. And I would have maybe lied down, have a rest or something, or read the newspaper. That didn't happen on that particular Saturday. And it was a wake-up call for me. And I think it was then that I realised that there's a really important distinction to be made here. And I feel that the way we frame this whole issue around screen addiction in Ireland is that we tend to place the responsibility too much on the children. We blame them for this crisis that we find ourselves in now, where they're addicted to tablets and to television. And I think the reason we do that is because we kind of paint them as these devious little creatures which will do anything to watch the TV. But we're the ones that are allowing it. And I wonder why we're doing that. And what I realised was that actually I had become addicted to putting the television on for them because of my own shortcomings as a parent. I wanted the respite. I wanted the opportunity to read my book, to listen to the radio, to do something for me. Whereas to parent without screens, without televisions, actually requires a huge amount of creativity, effort, time, energy, all of these things.
And planning, I would imagine.
And planning, for sure. And I found that on the first Saturday that, my God, we were like everything. We'd gone from to a digital existence to an analog existence in the time it takes to breathe in and out. And we started doing some arts and crafts and stuff like that. Time elongated, time expanded. But over a few weeks, things got much, much easier. And what was fascinating about it, Sean, is that I don't think the kids found it as difficult as we expected them to it. And that's because it isn't the kids who are necessarily addicted to the television or the screens. I think it's us as parents who are too reliant on outsourcing our responsibilities to give our kids an interesting time outside of school to devices.
Yeah. So are there pinch points now during the course of every day where that used to be screen time and now you have to think of something else?
Yeah, so there are. I mean, mornings are the most difficult, of course, because that's, you know, when you're really tired as a parent, they've woken you up earlier than you want. I mean, they've already got, you know, 11 hours of sleep if they wake up at 6:30 in the morning, but we haven't as parents. Mm. Because we go to bed much later. So that is hard. When they get tired, you know, they want to lie down on the couch and things like that. But it's gotten much easier with time. But the other thing that we introduce is, and I mentioned at the beginning of our conversation here, Sean, that there were some caveats to our so-called ban on screens. And important ones, I think, because, you know, I spoke to the psychologist Rebecca Quinn about this, just to get her take on all of this. And she surprised me actually with some of her advice around this. And she was saying that, you know, TV isn't inherently bad in itself. Where it becomes problematic is when you think about, well, what is the TV watching replacing in the child's life? Mm. And, you know, we need to think about, is this about kind of getting rid of the kids for a few minutes so that you have some time by yourself? Or can television or screen time be an inclusive experience and a shared experience between the parent and the child? So what we introduced was Saturday night movie night, which of course we had when we were growing up as well. And we do that with the kids on a Saturday night where I dusted off my old DVD player, which I hadn't used for years. I kept it because I knew that someday I might need that DVD
player. Beside your big box of wires, because they're always going to be needed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, those random wires that you haven't used for years. So I got those out And we started, and I got a projector, so we make it like a kind of a cinema experience, make some popcorn and everything. And the kids really look forward to that. So you asked a few moments ago, what are those pinch points? And we think, and they say, sometimes they will ask for TV. Can we just watch an episode of Bluey? I say, look, I know this is hard that, you know, we're not watching Bluey anymore, or Peppa Pig or whatever it is. But, you know, we've got Saturday Night Movie Night to look forward to tomorrow night. Dad's got a new DVD in town. And they love the tangibility of the DVD. Like, sometimes I'll come home on a Friday evening from town and I'll have got them a DVD each, like from a charity shop. Like, they cost €1 each. They're getting rid of them. They're basically paying you to take them away from them. And I bring them home and they don't know that it's secondhand. They don't know that this is unwanted technology. They're 5 and 3, mind.
Yeah.
But there's something lovely. And they love putting the DVD in the thing. They're learning about this kind of old technology, which their generation, what are they, Gen Alpha, have no native, they're not natives to that era of technology. But my point is, what Rebecca Quinn was saying, is that that experience with a screen on a Saturday night is a shared experience. Me and Ingrid, we sit down with them and we watch it together and we choose a family movie. It's not like, it's not a television program where it lasts for 15 minutes and then it rolls over to the next thing. We're trying to get away from that. With DVDs, there's a beginning, a middle and an end. And then it's finished. That's an experience that is now done and then we move on.
Yeah, yeah. And so after they go to bed, what do you and Ingrid do? Are you kind of sneaking?
I knew you were going to ask that. Does the ban extend to mum and dad?
Yeah, and there might be a little voice in the top. What are you doing down there?
I knew you were going to ask that.
Stocking up on your Bluey. Everybody wants to. Well, a lot of people are asking, how long do you hope to keep this up? Or I know, because it's impossible to say how they're going to react to this, you know, in next year or 6 months' time.
Yeah, I mean, the big question here for me is about cultural literacy. Like what Rebecca Quinn was saying, like TV isn't inherently bad. It's important, I think, that children know what other kids are talking about in the school playground when it comes to popular culture, and that includes television. At the moment, that hasn't really kicked in for us because they're still familiar with the programs that their classmates are currently watching. That'll change in the next year or two when they're out of it for longer. So that's something that we need to consider. And I think, you know, it's important that we're not too dogmatic about this and that we're not kind of enslaved to a kind of a terminal ban on this. It's something that you have to review as you go on, for sure.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. Well, best of luck with that. It's a very interesting position to take. Someone says, a year ago we introduced no TV Monday to Friday. Best decision we ever made. Improved mood and more family time and way less arguments over one more episode. We have 2 sons, 5 and 1.5. The little one has no TV or screen time. Your guest has reminded me of the excitement of getting videos from our local video shop. The options were limited, but such happy memories of choosing our movie when we were kids. In many ways, the choice we have now is worse. That's an interesting point as well, because it's overwhelming to an adult. There's so much choice available on streaming.
It is. It's so nice to make it simpler. Like, we've got a DVD collection at home now of probably 50 or 60 DVDs, and about half of them are kids' DVDs. And they love that. They look after their little DVD collection. They know the ones that they want to read. Look, you know, kids love rewatching the same movie over and over again until they've learned everything in it. They love that. That's my DVD. No, Gigi, that one's mine. You know, they love, there's something very special about something being collectible as opposed to existing in the ether as an MP4 file, you know.
Was it tricky? Was there kind of trial and error a bit in choosing the right DVDs for them?
Yeah, for sure. We got one DVD at Christmas, which was what's that Wes Anderson kids movie? It's Fantastic Mr. Fox, the Roald Dahl.
Yeah.
That was just too much. That was way too esoteric.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're not ready for Wes Anderson yet.
Yeah, yeah.
But we did love Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
All right. Well, that's a classic.
Right back to the 80s.
I wouldn't love that. Simon, thanks a million for coming in to tell us about that. That was Simon Tierney there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.